Last Sunday, we called attention to the fact that not everyone is going to heaven, contrary to what many have been made to believe. In the Sermon on the Mount, as recorded in Matthew 7, verse 21, Jesus taught, "Not everyone shall enter into the kingdom of heaven," and how that many will hear him say, "Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." Matthew 7, 21 through 23. The judgment scene reflects that as well in Matthew 25 and verse 46. When the Lord taught, "These shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal." To emphasize that in principle, we called attention to some things one may do and still be lost. There are eight of those. And like with the vaccine, you have to get two shots for the thing to be effective, to get the full effect. This is the second dose of that today as we call attention to more things one may do and still be lost. I call your attention today, first of all, to the fact that one may read their Bible and still be lost. You know, it's been said about some people that they think they're in heaven when they talk about the individual at their funeral service because they were such avid Bible readers. And they talk about their grandmother, grandfather, and they read and they read and they read. And it's wonderful that that could be said about an individual, that they took the time to read their Bible. A lot of people don't read their Bible as they could and as they should, and as a result, they don't know the will of the Lord. And it's commendable, it's noble that it could be said that a person read and studied their Bible. In fact, we're taught in 1 Timothy 4 and verse 13, give attendance to reading. Do we do that? In Ephesians 3 and 4, one of the benefits of reading the Bible is that you may understand. Paul said, "Whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ." One reason some people don't understand any more than they do is because they don't read any more than they do. If you want to understand, you need to read, and so do I. In Acts 17, 11, Paul said of the brethren in Berea, "These were more noble than those in Thessalonica." Why were they more noble or fair-minded? "And that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures," how often? Daily, whether those things were so. But did you know that you could search the scriptures daily and still be lost? If that's as far as it goes, if that's all you do is just read and search and you don't do what the Bible teaches, then you can read your Bible and still be lost. The eunuch was a scripture reading individual. Remember him in Acts chapter 8? He'd been to Jerusalem to worship, and he was in his chariot on his way back to Ethiopia, was returning, Acts 8:28 says, and sitting in his chariot, what was he doing? Read Isaiah the prophet. He's reading what we know as the book of Isaiah chapter 53. But you know, he still had to do some things. If he was saved at that point, then no need for him to stop the chariot. Why command the chariot to stand still? The fact that he had to order the chariot to stop, and the fact that they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him in Acts 8 and in verse 38 and 39. Shows that an individual could read their Bible and still be lost. But something else one may do and still be lost. Did you know that you could be a good person and still be lost? I get to thinking sometimes by the comments that are made that a good number of people have reached the conclusion that a person could be saved by good behavior alone. They talk about how good a person was in their life and all the things that they did that were charitable and benevolent, and they get to thinking maybe that a person like that could not possibly be lost. I'm not discounting or downplaying the importance of goodness. The Bible emphasizes the importance of good behavior, but none of us will get to heaven on good behavior alone. I don't know that in Caesarea, you could have found a better man than Cornelius in Acts the 10th chapter. Listen to the things said about him. In verse 2, he's described as a devout man and one that feared God with all his house. which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. Wouldn't you think of him as being a good man? If you were in that town at that time that he lived, and you said, take me to the house of a good person. I want you to introduce me to a good man. They may very well have taken you to the house of Cornelius. Further, in verse 22, he was described as being a just man and one that feareth God and of good report. That is, he had a good reputation among all the nation of the Jews. And so none better, perhaps, in that particular place than Cornelius. But you know, he wasn't saved at that point. Though he was such a good man, he had a good report, a good reputation. He was devout, God-fearing, had good report with his house, as he feared God with all his house. Though he was as benevolent and charitable as he was, having given much alms to the people and praying to God all the way, he wasn't saved at that point. I know he wasn't saved because in Acts 11, 13 and 14, he was told, send for Peter, who shall tell thee what? Words whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved. Though he was a good moral person, he had to hear words whereby he and his house could be saved. And so that tells me a person may be good. They may be honest. They may have a good reputation and still be lost. But also, an individual may have a good conscience and still be lost. A lot of people have been made to believe you just need to let your conscience be your guide. And as long as you have a good conscience, that's all that really matters. Have you thought about Saul in connection with that thinking? The things that he did. He, in Acts chapter 7, when Stephen was being put to death, was holding the clothes, consenting unto his death. In Acts 8 and 3, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women, committed them to prison. In Acts 9 and in verse 2, he desired letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. So when you did all of that, did it affect your conscience? Did your conscience bother you? Here's his answer in Acts 23 and verse 1. Men and brethren, I've lived in all good conscience before God until this day. Did your conscience bother you? No, he'd say. I lived in all good conscience. In fact, in Acts 26 and verse 9, he would say these words, I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. That's his problem. He thought with himself. And a lot of people do that today. They think with themselves. And with their thinking and their conscience, they're doing many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth, but they feel okay about it. They think that what they're doing is right. You know, the Bible says there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Proverbs 14:12. We must learn, as Jeremiah, the prophet, said in Jeremiah 10 and verse 23, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. And so you may have a good conscience. You may think within yourself that you're doing what's right and yet do things that are wrong. And though your conscience not bother you, you could still be lost. For this man was at that point, even though he had a good conscience. But another thing you may do and still be lost, you could follow the majority and be lost. Somebody said, I've got the majority on my side. I'm doing what's popular. I mean, this many people couldn't be wrong, could they? There was a building that had a sign on it that said 50,000 physicians can't be wrong. Could 50,000 physicians be wrong? If they said what was contrary to the truth, they'd be wrong, wouldn't they? Even though 50,000 of them said it. Doesn't make any difference how many people might say a thing. If it's contrary to the truth, it's not right. In the book of Exodus 23 and in verse 2, the admonition was given, thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil. That's what happens with a lot of people. They follow the crowd. And that's not good. How many people were saved in the ark, remember? 1 Peter 3:20 says few. That is 8 souls. I don't know how many were in the population at the time, but surely many more than 8 souls. And put yourself back there when the ark was preparing. And you got to thinking, should we get in the ark or not? And you based your decision on the majority. Thought, well, we have the majority on our side. I think we'll just stay out here. Those silly few people think they're going to be saved in that ark. What would have happened? You know what would have happened. What happened to those that were outside the ark? They perished. They were lost. Read Genesis 7. Noah and they that were with him in the ark were the only ones who remained alive. In the reading of Matthew 7, 13 and 14, the Lord taught that broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many, that's the majority, there be which go in thereat. But in contrast, he spoke of the narrow way, and he said, that leads to life, that's the way we want to go. And how many there be that find it? Few. Few. So you can't measure whether or not you're going to be saved by how many you have on your side. Or if you belong to a particular group of people that are the largest in membership. Or what's the most popular belief or thinking. For the Lord's people have always been in the few. Remember, that was true of Israel. The Lord said he didn't set his love upon them or choose them because they were more in number. He said you were the fewest of all people. In Deuteronomy 7 and verse 7. But furthermore, you may keep the Ten Commandments and still be lost. There are those today that put much emphasis on keeping the Old Covenant, the Law of Moses, and you may keep it and not make it to heaven. You aware of that? Matthew 19, you remember the story of a young man, a rich man, a prominent man, a ruler who came to Jesus. He came running, shows his enthusiasm, his eagerness. He ran to Jesus and said, good master, what good things shall I do that I may have eternal life? And the Lord said, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. The Ten Commandments were in force at the time that he lived, and he asked which, and the Lord referred him to those commands. And the young man said, all these have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? Well, if he could have been saved by just keeping the Ten Commandments, he wouldn't have lacked anything, would he? But the Lord said, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast and give the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, remember what happened? He went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. That's Matthew 19, 16 through 22. Though he had kept the commandments from a young man, and not many today could say that, he was a good moral man, and we need more people like him, young people and wealthy people and prominent people who are interested in eternal life like he was and see the value of what the Bible says. But though he had kept the Ten Commandments, he still could be lost, couldn't he? You know, the law was in effect to serve to make known sin. According to Romans 7 and verse 7, Paul said, I had not known sin, but by the law. And in that setting, he shows that we're dead to the law and delivered from the law. Verses 4 and 7 that said, thou shalt not covet. Verse 7. So we're dead to and delivered from the Ten Commandment law. That law was a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ that we might be justified by faith. Galatians 3, 23 through 25. Paul said that after faith has come, we're no longer under a schoolmaster. So you could keep the schoolmaster, you could keep the law, and still be lost. But also, something else you may do and still be lost. Did you know you could pray and still be lost? Some people, when they ask, what would I need to do to be saved? They tell you to pray. You just need to pray. They call it the sinner's prayer. Did you know you could make many prayers and the Lord not hear you? Have you thought about that? In Isaiah 1 and verse 15, look at what the Lord said to his people in Old Testament times. He said, "When you spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when you make many prayers," listen, "I will not hear." Why did he say that? He said, "Your hands are full of blood." That tells me you could pray many prayers and still be lost. And in connection with that, read Isaiah 59, 1 and 2, when the prophet said, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear." So you can be in a place, in a condition, where you could pray many prayers and still be lost. The scriptures in the New Testament describe two praying men who are still lost. One was Saul, remember? We talked about him earlier, the man who had a good conscience. He was a praying man. In Acts 9 and verse 11, when the Lord sent Ananias to him, he said, "Go unto the street, which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth." Behold, he prayeth. He was praying. If he was saved when he was praying, then he was saved before he was told what to do. For he was told by the Lord in Acts 9 and verse 6, "Go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do." He's told in the city, and here Ananias hadn't even arrived yet. He's been sent by the Lord to go to Saul to tell him what to do. And so if you have a man saved by prayer, you have him saved before he's ever told what to do to be saved. And thus he must have been saved without faith, for faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of the Lord. Romans 10:17. And thus he'd have been saved without pleasing God, because without faith it's impossible to please him. Hebrews 11 and verse 6. He was told in Acts 22:16, "Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins." And so saved by prayer, he is saved in his sins before his sins had been washed away. Because it wasn't until Acts 9 and verse 18 that he arose and was baptized. That shows that you could pray and still be lost. But that was true of Cornelius as well. He was a praying man. Remember Acts 10:2, he prayed to God always. In verse 4, reference was made to his prayers, "Thy prayers." And then in verse 31, "Thy prayer is heard." Here's a man who prayed. If saved by prayer, why send for Peter? No need to send for Peter if you're saved by prayer. You could pray and still be lost, see, because he had to hear words whereby he and his house could be saved. Remember that, Acts 11, 13 and 14. And the same would hold true for him. If saved by prayer, without hearing words, and saved without faith, for faith cometh by hearing, Romans 10:17, and saved without pleasing God, Hebrews 11 and verse 6. So one may pray many prayers and still be lost. Furthermore, one may confess Jesus and still be lost. Say, you just need to confess the Lord. That's all that's involved. In fact, Paul said that with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Romans 10, 9 and 10. And so they think that's all you got to do, as long as you confess the Lord. But did you know that the Lord said, "Not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will enter"? Remember that? Matthew 7, 21. It takes more than confessing. Many will say, "Lord, Lord," only to hear the Lord say, "Depart." In Matthew 7, 22 and 23, Jesus asked him, "Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" Luke 6, 46. Remember the foolish virgins who said, "Lord, Lord," and the door was shut. Matthew 25 and verse 11. And then finally, when you think about things one may do and still be lost, one may know what to do and still be lost. You remember what James said in James chapter 4 and in verse 17? "To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." Many know but don't do what they know to do. Those who know, they could tell you what to do. And yet, if not doing it, we'll still be lost. That's not a problem with a lot of people. It's not a problem of not knowing, but it's a problem of not doing what they know. Matthew 7:21. The Lord said, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." That's what it gets down to. It all boils down to doing the will of the Father. Jesus said, "Whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them," in Matthew 7 and verse 24. He's the wise man, represented by the builder that builds his house on the rock. In James 1, James said, "But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." Who's the blessed man of James 1? The man who does. In Revelation 22:14, John said, "Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city." And so this, in connection with our study last Sunday, shows that there are many things one may do and still be lost. There may be a lot of wonderful things that could be said about an individual after they've gone the way of all the earth. But remember, one may do many things and still be lost. One must obey to be saved. Hebrews 5:8-9 emphasizes Christ is the author of eternal salvation unto all of them that obey him. If we're not faithful in obeying the Lord, we're not going to be saved regardless of what we may or may not have done in our life. One may hear, believe, be baptized, be a disciple, be close to the Lord, be religious, do many wonderful works, be zealous, read their Bible, be a good person, have a good conscience, follow the majority, keep the Ten Commandments, pray, confess Jesus, and know what to do. And perhaps you can think of others and still be lost. Now, that shows that our destiny is in the Lord's hands, who will reward every man according to his works. And may we recognize the importance of doing what the Lord says so as to be saved. Hearing the word of the Lord, that's how faith comes, Romans 10:17. Believing is necessary. As Jesus said, "If you believe not that I'm he, you shall die in your sins," John 8:24. Repentance is commanded of all men everywhere, Acts 17:30. Remember the man of Ethiopia, though he was reading the Bible, he said, "See, here is water, what doth hinder me to be baptized?" And the preacher said, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." And the answer said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." To be baptized to Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, Acts 2:38. And then to be faithful all of our days, Revelation 2:10, so that we can hear the Lord say, "Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." Or if you've done that, you've complied with those terms of pardon, but as a Christian, you've gone astray, there's sin that you need to correct in your life, to repent of that and ask God for forgiveness. Repent and pray was what Simon, after he was baptized, was told to do when his heart was not right in the sight of God. And then John said in 1 John 1:9, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Appreciate the good way that you've listened. And should you need to make some changes in your life, we're here to help you do that as we stand and sing the song.